us so much, Lord, we just give back just a portion to you to help our community, to help others, and to spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen.
So glad you guys joined us today. I told the first group they were joining us for our Christmas program. So let me tell you, it's not Christmas yet, but it's coming. But this is really our spring edition of our cantata. But what we want you to do today is just sit back and listen to the words of the songs. Put yourself in the place of Jesus and where he walked and what he did for you so that you are able to tell your story.
Oh, begotten Son come to dwell among the people living in darkness. The road from Bethlehem's manger to Golgotha's cross was a mission of destiny, leading Jesus down dusty streets and across barren deserts. He would minister to multitudes, yet be at home with sinners. He would receive praise, yet endure scorn. Led by the lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears his side, so he did not look at his life.
Righteous life, flesh was torn, wounded hand, brows with thorn, broken heart, enduring scorn. Is this the sovereign Lord? Our ocean, empty space, takes our sin, we see.
in the grave, arose victorious on the third day, and his resurrection is our hope. This is our story. This is our soul. The chains of sin have been broken. The debt has been paid in full.
Rain, it was a
I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read verses 32 through the end of the chapter. I pray that this would minister to your hearts today as we think about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 26, "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which we will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?' There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, saying, 'This is the king of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud spirit, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts in return. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself also was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock. There was no one who had ever been laid there before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two women stood by in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day raised again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." How close do you want to be to the cross of Christ? Do you see the weight on the cross? Do you see the price that was paid? Do you also feel in your heart the pain? Do you see its power? As a matter of fact, do you see the victory that is found after the cross and in the empty grave? Do you hear its message? Why the cross? Why would Jesus suffer so much on that cross? I want to offer you just a few reasons as to why we should get closer to the cross. If you get closer to the cross of Christ, you're going to see that God loves you. God loves you. Love is a powerful word, isn't it? Okay, it's a powerful word. We express that word with feeling. We express it with emotion towards those that we deeply care about. We can also use love in a different term. We can use it without a thought, often taking it away when we're upset with someone, when we're bitter with someone, when we're angry with someone. But the cross of Christ says differently. The cross of Christ says that God loves you unconditionally, meaning that there's nothing that you can do ever to remove God's love for you. He loves you. It is an everlasting love. And that's why Christ went to the cross, to tell the world in the deepest and strongest of ways, I love you. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he gave his one and only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates, he shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians 2:20 says that Jesus, the Son of God, loves you and gave himself for you. So if we get close to the cross of Christ, we're going to see that God loves us. If we get close to the cross of Christ, we will also see the labor that Christ went through for you. I want this to sink into your heart today, okay? And you think about this. Christ was crucified for you. He was crucified for you. Let that settle in for a second. Do you truly understand? Do you grasp the depth of what was done for us? The Son of God died. He bled. He died for us. And he didn't die in a hospital bed. He didn't die in his sleep. He didn't die with family surrounding him and comforting him. He died on a cruel cross where he was stripped shamefully of his clothes, where he was treated as the worst of criminals. Notice in Luke 23, it says that he was crucified in between two other criminals. He was beat senseless and ruthlessly, his body, his flesh torn and ripped open, bruised, scarred, flayed, and lashed. The man that was beaten and then carried the cross to Calvary went there to die. And he was nailed to that cross by his hands and his feet, and a crown of thorns was placed upon his head, piercing his skin. Why all of this pain? Why all of this pain? Why the blood of Christ? Why the bruises and the cuts and the violence? Because he was the perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine. We're all sinners, folks. We've all made mistakes. Every one of us here have some things in common, believe it or not. You are loved and adored by God. All of us have that in common. But you are also sinful. I am sinful, whether it be a single thought or a harsh word or a moment of judgment to someone else or failure to obey the law of God's word in the least of ways. We are sinful people. And Christ died to pay the full price for our sins. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. 1 Peter 3:18 says that Christ also died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. So Christ labored on the cross so that we would no longer need to labor for forgiveness. There's nothing you and I can do today to earn a relationship with God. Sure, you can earn a job. Sure, you can earn a grade. Sure, you can earn a position or a vacation or an award, but you can't earn eternity. Christ labored and died and bled and suffered for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins, cleansed and made new, so that we could be saved. And so it's with great joy I say, if we get closer to the cross, we just don't see the love of God. We don't just see the labor that Christ gave us, but we also see the greatest burden of our hearts lifted. How many of you today are carrying a burden? You're carrying a burden, meaning that there's something weighing heavy on your heart today, in your spirit today. Maybe there is a loved one that you're thinking of that is sick, and your heart hurts for them and their condition. Maybe you've recently heard of someone's death, and your heart just breaks. It is burdened for that family in their time of need. Maybe you've got a child today who is far from God, and your heart hurts for their soul, for their well-being. You long for them to come back home. Maybe you're in a marriage or in a relationship that has been damaged, and so you're burdened for your spouse. Perhaps you personally today are bearing burdens. You're bearing worries and anxieties and fears, and you're fearful of the future, and you're deeply concerned about how things are going to turn out. You're not so sure if God's going to come through, if there's provision there. Maybe you're not so sure about how things are going to end out. Maybe you're personally suffering today, and that statement carries a lot of weight and a lot of grief and sometimes a lot of shame. And so maybe you've been abused or neglected, and you've been hurt by circumstances, and you've been betrayed by others, and you've been scarred by others. Maybe your heart today is simply burdened for the fact that you've got people in your life and in your family, and you go to work with them, and they don't know Christ, and they're not following Christ, and you know the eternal state that they're in. I want to say this to you today. Christ died for the greatest of burdens, and he died so that they would be lifted. It doesn't mean that you won't hurt in this life. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through troublesome times or trials. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face pain. But what it does mean is that because if Christ has already bore our greatest burden, which is our sin, and if he's already done that, and he's already forgiven you and saved you, and if he can restore your soul, if he can bear that burden, oh, he can bear any burden that you have in your life right now. He can lift those burdens, whatever it is, because he loves you and he wants you to be free today. At the cross, the burden of your heart has to be rolled away. There was a beautiful picture of that burden being lifted as Christ died on the cross. Even as he was being nailed to the cross, he cries out to Father God, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know the shameful things that they're doing. And as he was crucified there were two criminals on each side of him. And they're no different than us. They're just as sinful. They're just as wicked. They're just as undeserving of grace and salvation. Yet he was willing to forgive them both. He was willing to save them both. And he did for the one who would give his heart over to him in faith. In the most difficult, burdensome moment of his life, Christ lifted it. Christ freed him, and he will do the same for you. I pray someone today needs to hear this. You don't have to carry the burden of sin in your heart. There's forgiveness and freedom at the cross and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry the burdens and troubles of this world in your heart today. Trust them to God. Give them over to God's care and control. Place them into his care by faith. Allow God to move and minister in your life. And pray deeply, folks, about what's going on in your life. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Don't give up. Give your burden to Christ. Why? He has already paid for them. Is someone today in need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Know that he loves you. Know that he labored for you. And know that he alone can lift the burdens that you have, all from the cross. If you get close to the cross, yes, you will see your sin. But I hope that you see even more at the cross and through the empty tomb. You see your Savior, your Lord, your God, who deeply desires for you to be changed, saved for eternity. I want to ask if you would just to bow your heads with me for a moment. We're going to have a time of prayer and reflection, a moment of invitation. I'm going to take some time to pray for you. And I encourage you today. I encourage you, if there is something on your heart that you need to lift up to the Lord. If there are people or a circumstance, something that's just deeply bothering you and burdening your soul, I encourage you to pray about it. Okay, come to this altar today and pour your heart out to God. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you say, I need to be saved. I need to give my heart to the Lord. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to put my faith in Him. I encourage you today to do just that. Let me pray for you, and then you'll have the opportunity to respond. Father, thank you, thank you. We love you, we praise you as we sing. Our sovereign Lord, who paid the price for our sins and was raised to life, for our freedom, for our spirit to be saved, for our soul to be saved, for our lives to be saved for eternity. Thank you, Father, for what you did in sending your Son, Jesus, to be the atonement, the propitiation for our sins. Lord, we do love you, and we're thankful for the price that you paid, knowing that we could have never paid that sin debt. We could have never lifted that burden of sin that was on our life and on our heart. We could have never went through that labor of love that you went through, how your back and your body was bruised and beaten and ripped open. You sacrificed yourself, the perfect sacrifice, one that pleased God eternally so that we could be saved. God, all you ask and all you desire is for us to give our hearts, our lives over into your care. You want to restore us. You want to save us. You want to make us new. And God, that invitation is here today. And I pray that you're ministering right now to different hearts and that are hearing it. I prayed earlier this morning. I pray the same thing. I pray the message of the gospel today was not just heard in their head or in their ears. I pray today that the message of the gospel would be found in their heart. That they would believe on Christ and choose to follow Christ, that they would turn from their sins and they would ask you to cleanse them and forgive them from their unrighteousness. And Lord, we're not worthy. We're not good. But you are. And what you did is perfect and sufficient for our salvation. And so, Lord, if there are souls in the room that need to be saved, I pray that they would give their heart to you right now. They would pray right where they're sitting. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I realize, I acknowledge, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I need you to forgive me and cleanse me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you came and you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to conquer sin and death and hell. And I believe, Lord, I believe that you will save me. And I ask you to save me, and I commit my life to you. I put my faith and my trust in you. I pray, God, that someone today heard the message of the gospel and believed on Christ. We want to rejoice with them, Lord. We want to praise you for what you've done. And I pray today for those that are carrying burdens that you don't intend for them to carry. Your word says that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And if they're carrying a burden that is way, way too heavy, it was not intended for them to carry. Lord, you have already paid the price for that as well, so that we can give you the circumstances and the needs and the hurts of our hearts. We can give them to you, and we can trust you with them. So, Lord, in this time of invitation, I pray that we're obedient, that we would respond fully to your message, God. Thank you for all that you have done, and we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you need to respond to the message today, I would love to have the privilege to be able to minister to you. If you need to come to this altar and pray, you come as God leads. Just be obedient today. Do what he's telling you to do. Don't leave this place without Christ. Let's get closer to the cross. You come.